From the protectors of the internet, the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, it's the PKO Podcast with Carl and Dana.
Okay, welcome to the PKO Podcast presented by the Wisconsin Department of Justice, Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. I'm Carl.
And I'm Dana. Carl, I feel like you're tired today.
No, but I have a joke of the day to brighten everybody's smile.
It's going to bring everybody out. Okay, what is it?
What computer sings the best? Something like the Jeopardy theme.
I don't know. I like this switch of things, though, where I get to try to come up with the answers to the jokes.
What computer sings the best?
I don't know.
Adele.
Oh, that's good, right? That's good. Awesome. Okay, good. So that does lighten things up.
See?
We're continuing our October Keeping Kids Safe Online month. And as part of that partnership that we had mentioned between DOJ and DPI here in Wisconsin, we have another guest with us today, Julie. Welcome. Say hello to everybody.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. We're so glad to have you here. And this is going to, we're kind of getting toward the end of the month here. And this is a cool new perspective, I think, to share.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Julie, can you talk to people about what you do at DPI, what your kind of role is here?
Sure. So I am the school social work consultant at DPI. So I provide technical assistance to the field, so primarily for school social workers and other pupil service members and administrators, and work with the whole team for student service and prevention and wellness, which does a lot to remove barriers for students to access, to be able to access education.
That's awesome. And this is such a cool perspective to kind of join in with this, because I think it's one that maybe falls under the radar a lot, but it's very, very important, and especially with technology and, you know, maybe some of the risks that we see involved there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, okay, we've talked a lot about the resources and things that you guys have on that DPI website that you're putting out there for folks. Let's talk about why that's important from your perspective to have those resources out there for folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely right now, as families and kids are going back to school, parents and guardians are really thinking about how can they help their students have a balance between all of the technology and media they're using within their classes and then as well at home, how to keep their kids safe and how to be able to use media in a way that is meaningful and productive for their kids' lives.
Meaningful and productive. Those are two topics that are very difficult with kids in media. I mean, so the average YouTube video that describes people beating on each other, that's not meaningful and productive, no.
No, but educators are finding such creative ways to make use of media in the classroom. A lot of schools are able to provide students with laptops or Chromebooks that they're, you know, able to do their homework on, or to really make their presentations come alive or their learning come alive. So it can provide a hands-on experience for kids.
That's awesome. And we were just actually talking about another app. And I know there's a lot of ones out there like this, but I think that one was GroupMe. And
yes.
I thought, what a cool opportunity that would be for an educator to be able to make like class projects or something, because they could communicate through those types of things, as long as you really kept an eye on it to reduce that risk.
So GroupMe is an app that, similar to Yik Yak, except it wasn't anonymous. You had to have a username and a password on it. And you, like, as a teacher, I could see having the entire class on this app and then putting out either questions or assignments or quizzes or however you want to do it, and then having all the kids respond to that, or, hey, project's due this day. And it's kind of that instant reminder. So that that meaningful and productive GroupMe app, I think, would be very productive in a school setting in that sense too. But, of course, we view the dangers of it sometimes. But a lot of positives on that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good apps that can be used in the educational setting. And, you know, I think something on people's minds, on parents' minds, is thinking about, well, how do I keep my students' information safe while doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So schools and educators and parents all have a responsibility to be looking into what kind of information do the apps and websites that students are accessing, what kind of information do they pull from students? And some districts have to make sure that they are entering into good contracts with companies, for, like digital companies, and then parents have the right and responsibility to ask about that too. What data is their student sharing, even on, like, if they don't know about it?
I think that's an excellent lesson in and of itself, both for parents and kids, because it teaches you to be mindful of when you're just you know, you download an app and you're just like, agree, 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 agree. And nobody even reads those anymore. And you don't know, you know, what was, there was something that went around where a company had users agreeing to like do certain number of hours of community service during these months or something. And obviously they didn't hold people to that, but it was kind of proving a point that you don't know what you're agreeing to if you're not reading through those details.
Absolutely.
Right. And districts pay a lot of attention to that, and they need to under the federal laws around and state laws around protecting student privacy. But I think parents have the right and responsibility to ask about that, too.
Absolutely. I have a question, and you may or may not know this. I don't know. But I know that kids and their parents, their families are able to kind of opt out if technology is part of their learning plan. So if kids are getting Chromebooks or anything like that. Do you know if a lot of them do opt out? I mean, is it pretty rare?
Yeah, I haven't heard much feedback from the field on what's happening with that.
Yeah.
It seems mostly kids are pretty excited to get that type of technology. And, you know, even parents like to have the students be able to bring that home with them so they're not also using, occupying the family's computer at home.
Absolutely.
Or some families don't have access to that at all. So that provides them with that opportunity. So I feel like there's a lot of positive feedback.
I feel like... Even, I mean, and I'm, if what you believe what you believe and feel how you want to feel, but I feel like if you did opt out, you might be increasing risk for cyber, or not cyberbullying, but just bullying in general. Like, you know, because you're really kind of singling.
Why don't you have
out.
A computer? Why is your mom and dad? Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. But I mean, obviously somebody's going to have a good reason if that's what they want to do. So you shared some cool stats with us, just kind of national stats about online safety and kids. And I wanted to share a couple of those because I think that they're very, very important for the listeners of this podcast. So a couple of things that you had mentioned, 90% of Americans now have cell phones. And we know that there's a lot of schools that allow the kids to use their cell phones as part of maybe learning activities or something as long as they aren't interfering.
Right.
That's a very difficult, I think, line probably to draw and hold to, but
useful and productive.
Yeah.
Or meaningful,
meaningful and productive.
And productive.
Yeah. but some other ones I really liked here, you said, 1 in 5 youth who regularly log into the internet have received a sexual solicitation, which is something that we talk a lot about. 7 in 10 have been victims of cyberbullying. And even some stats about like 6% of identity theft cases a couple years ago were kids 19 and under. And that's a super scary thing because, you know, you might have somebody that like takes out a mortgage under your child's name and you're not checking their credit report. So then what does that do to their future?
Yeah, definitely. And then also what other information are students sharing on social media, for example, that's then going to be out there in the public domain when they're later searching for jobs or trying to get into good colleges. So I think it just really speaks to the point that teachers and parents need to be talking about this and need to be talking to kids about it, because really the best thing to do about it is prevention. Kids need to know the laws. They need to know what people with bad intentions can do and how that can negatively affect their privacy and their information.
Absolutely. And that's I wanted to mention that specifically because we talked earlier this month about some of the resources that are combined now on your guys' internet safety website at DPI. And we talked about the fact that there are things on there for things like identity theft, and it's not just focused on online predators or grooming or cyberbullying or that sort of thing. And this is why, because this stuff, I mean, this impacts our entire life. So that's really, really cool. I'm really glad that you shared that with us.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and parents and teachers can also be just thinking about creating an environment where students feel comfortable coming to them if something feels wrong to them online, or if they are solicited, or if they have questions about the websites they're visiting or their apps they're using, or somebody, you know, ask them to meet up or something like that. So it's about creating that environment, making sure you've got a good relationship and rapport with the students.
Yeah, communication is key for sure. All right. So we've got links to your website. You can always connect through that at protectkidsonline.wa.gov. Your guys's, again, I want to mention is, so you can always connect through the link on our website at protectkidsonline.wi.gov, but you can go directly to your guys's website at dpi.wi.gov/internet-safety. So a little bit of a mouthful, but we want people to check that out because it's kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of different resources for this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And you can always go to our website, protectkidsonline.wi.gov, and we'll have links up there and we'll all link together.
Yay!
One big happy family.
Julie, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Any last minute?
Yep. Jinx.
Any last minute thoughts for parents, educators, anybody about safety stuff?
Well, adults just need to remember that they're modeling the appropriate behavior. So in the evenings or during class time, what are kids seeing adults do? Are they constantly checking their phone? Are they responding to a text in the middle of class? Are they in the middle of family dinner and checking the news? All of those things matter. Students and kids are watching that. So adults can model that appropriate ways to use technology.
So dad gets paid to do this so I can?
That doesn't work.
I'm going to use your stuff as a soundbite. That was perfect. That's good. Anyway, thanks for listening. Connect with us on ProtectKidsOnline.wi.gov.
And
always stay safe.